Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another highly anticipated episode from MuseTech.net. That's MuseTech.net. Place you want to be, a place you want to see. My name is Joe Pisano, and I'm here along with my good friend, Darren Morton. How are you today, Darren?
I am suffering the effects of, I think, oversleeping.
I see we got some coffee in front of us, so that's
got
to be helping.
We've got coffee. We've got coffee from our favorite fast food joint,
that's
who actually
right.
serves not a bad coffee. I'll give them credit.
Well, you know, fast food being Golden Arches type of food, yeah, it's not bad. One of the interesting things about getting this coffee this morning was the McDonald's, if I can say that, right? The McDonald's was there, and this little place, McDonald's, this little patch of land, three of the sides are completely dug out. You had to figure out how to get in there, and there was just so much construction, which then brought me into coming into Darren's infamous studio here. I couldn't get in. There was caution tape and knocking on the door, and I heard what I thought was a jackhammer, and I realized this is a radio station, right? And I'm thinking, whoa, what is going on, right? And so I give him a call. You know, he's on his way in because he had a little extra sleep today. And
I've got a good excuse. My 6-year-old didn't wake me up.
Well, see, we got to put it on the people that you can count on, you know,
exactly.
I mean, the responsible ones to do that.
Yeah, normally she comes in and pounces on me if I sleep more than 10 minutes over, but oh no, the Scooby-Doo movie took over this morning. So,
well, you know, some of us use an alarm clock. I don't know, but
what is this you speak of? Alarm clock.
That's right. So, anyways. So I get into here and I can't get in, right? And so I call Darren up and they're doing some construction. Well, just like the McDonald's, he is completely surrounded by brand new construction around the studio, and I figured, man, they were finally just coming to get you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You've been in this prison for so long that there was a jailbreak going on.
Locked myself in when it was a standoff situation. They finally brought the heavy construction in to tunnel me out. You know, I had the internet and access to a floor drain. That's really all I needed.
Right. Well, I knew they were breaking walls down, so I knew something was going on. So anyways, in this process, you found out that above the acoustic ceiling that you have in here, it's actually not sealed off.
No, it's not. I was trying to figure out why it was. I was hearing these jackhammers, and upon looking outside my door up at the ceiling, the walls do not extend clear to the ceiling. And in soundproofing is not putting stuff up on the wall to absorb. That's absorption. Right. And to soundproof one area from another, you have to seal off the airflow.
Get rid of the space.
You've got to kill. Yeah, putting up an acoustic ceiling and not finishing the walls between point A and point B really doesn't do anything other than take off the high frequencies.
Oh, yes.
So
you're
still left with the thud, 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 thud of the jackhammer.
Well, the good news is we started this and they quit doing whatever it is they were doing with their hammer drill. So, but if you hear some things, they're really not coming to get us. They're actually putting up some new things going on. Well, speaking of that, you're looking at updating your studio acoustically and everything. What's going on with that?
Well, our student studios for the radio station have been in a different building since about 1979.
Okay.
And so we wanted to move the studio someplace closer to where my office and where the control point for the radio station is at. So an opportunity came up to kind of modify an existing audio-video lab. So some donor money came available.
Donors
are good people.
Donors are good people. We love donors. So please contact – no,
go ahead. Please make checks payable, too.
That's right.
So what we decided to do is basically section off a lab area and with a classroom space and add an office and a main studio. And so you end up with kind of a shared resources kind of area.
Okay. That makes sense.
It ties everything together, and the folks using the audio and video labs will also have access to some radio production equipment. And the folks in the radio station will also have access to some classroom space for their meetings and whatever else. Meeting point of different needs.
Well, one of the things that you do all the time, and I'm sure a lot of the people involved with music technology, and certainly the broadcast industry, which is obviously a part of audio and what we do, is these remote shoots and bringing in remote audio for either radio needs or video needs. And one of the things that you just showed me when I walked in here, which was really cool, were these awesome AKG headsets with microphones. And these are things that a particular type, I'll let Darren expand on this, that you haven't had for a while. Why don't you tell us why these are so interesting and how they're going to help this remote, and not only remote, but also the local process.
Mm-hmm. And also, there's a really good tie back into podcasting
okay.
with these.
Making it all weave together for you out there.
See,
podcasting,
this is how we tie things
all coming
together.
It's tying up.
We're professionals at tying. Over the years, if you've watched any kind of live sports production on TV and you see the guys wearing the big ear sets with the microphones in front of them.
Right.
If you want to be safe with your remote equipment, and remote equipment is treated about as well as the average police car is, or rental. You've had a rental car. You know how they get treated?
Oh, yeah.
Remote equipment, because it gets used week in, week out by different people.
Most people think it's disposable, and when they're done with it, it ends up in the trash or something.
Because
very expensive stuff.
These people
too,
won't see this equipment next week. They don't care.
Right.
So usually you kind of err on the side of putting a dynamic microphone right up against somebody's face and a set of okay headsets. If you get into live production for like NFL games and whatever else, you see the better quality headset microphone packages.
Sure, and you know, I was just going to say, you know, you say the better quality, and just like the NFL and the football teams, you know, the bands have that kind of money as well to make sure that we get the best stuff.
Oh yeah, you gotta
that's out there. But tell us about this. You were going to go explain to us what exactly, get to the meat of what you're talking about.
Potatoes.
Why are these cool, man?
Why are these cool? If you were doing a podcast and you're in a room like mine is, that apparently is not sealed from point A to point B, you want to be able to keep your microphones close to the mouth. It would be ideal to have that microphone always be situated right in front of the person's mouth. Well, the perfect way to do that is with a headset. The perfect way to do that is with an ear set or headset mic package.
Okay.
And these start off in the $70-$75 range, and they go up from there. The new ones I just demoed, and I'm probably going to employ this year.
And are very nice looking.
Oh, they're very nice.
Very nice looking.
Have pretty much everything going for them. They're an AKG, as Joe said. It's an HSC 271, and it combines the an excellent quality microphone. Usually headset mics are, like I said, they're dynamics. Quality is okay for what they do. But these actually have a condenser microphone with them, so that requires phantom power.
Sure.
But they're also packaged with the standard 271 AKG headset, which is a killer headset. I've used AKGs for years. I love them. So, and street price, it's not cheap. But if you look at buying headsets and if you look at buying microphones, it makes sense to go with a headset mic combination. These are top of the line, and the price on them is, street price is right around $400 or below that, which you may say, that's outrageous. Ah! But if you look at good headsets and you look at buying good mics, and if you look at especially putting a microphone exactly where it's needed that always moves with somebody's head.
Right. You always have that direction right where it's needed.
It's right there. And it's closer to your mouth, so the noise coming from elsewhere in your room, if you have an unoptimized space.
Kind of like today. Has anyone actually heard the jackhammer yet?
I'm sure it's in there. I think they're core drilling right now, which is semi-quiet, apparently.
I'm not sure what they're doing, but I saw a wrecking ball fly by one of your windows. I'm not quite sure.
But if you have a loud space and you're trying to use a studio condenser microphone to do a podcast or some kind of recording, you're going to pick up your neighbor on the phone. You're also going to hear everything else in the room. You're going to hear the HVAC system kick on. But if you're using a headset or an ear set, depending on what you call it, you've got the microphone right beside your mouth, and as you move your head, the microphone moves with it. So you get excellent audio quality, and with these AKGs I'm working with right now, you have an excellent headset. Drawback, you need two outputs for your headsets.
Well, hey, you know what? For that kind of quality, I want to talk about quality. A lot of podcasters, especially newbies and even some veterans, think that, well, you know, I'm going to turn this into an MP3 or an MP4 or whatever form of compression is the compression of the day. And they think, well, it's going to get junked up anyways. I can go out and use one of these $11 microphones, right? We'll both tell you right now that you have to start with the best quality input. It all starts at the input. All starts at the microphone, followed very closely by the preamp, right? If you start out with junk, even you're going to compress it into even more junk.
Yep.
So, you know, I've heard a lot of times people use, well, it's just a, you know, I'm just doing a podcast. The truth is, you know what? Go out and spend a little bit of money and get a mic, the best mic that you can to do what you're doing so that it does sound better. There's a huge difference between someone that starts out with a high quality microphone and then turns it into a podcast format versus someone that starts out with the $9.99 junker that can be found at many stores, which I won't name. And you're just starting out with junk, and you end up with super junk at the end of that.
You can always back quality down further down the process. You can always reduce quality for whatever the medium is at a later point. But if you've got junk on the front end, you can't make it sound better on the back end.
Darren, you hit it on the head as usual. My students, many times, they'll make a recording, and let's say for whatever reason this recording, the only thing they have is an MP3 of it, okay, and it's like a 96K stream or something, and then they tell me, well, I'm going to turn it into CD later, right? Well, we know when it gets onto the CD, it's got to be 44/116 bit, right? Which you can take an MP3 and you can turn it into that, but it sounds just the same as the MP3. I try to explain to them, it doesn't get better. You know, you started out with something, it cannot get any better than what it is. Sure, we can convert it to a format that has a great potential to sound better, but because you started out with junk, it doesn't magically get better just because, I'm moving it up to a higher bit rate, or I'm moving it up to DVD,
or I'm using plugins and processing. It'll sound a lot better now.
Garbage in, garbage out. Right? G-I-G-O. This is something I learned back in 6th grade, 7th grade computer classes. I right on top of the board, I can remember I'm using my hands right now. You can't see this. So just imagine me drawing the G-I-G-O. It was our basic computer class, first computer class I had. And he was right. You know, if you start out with garbage programming, you end up with garbage programming. And it's the same. It's true of everything, especially with audio.
And if you've come out of the Pennsylvania school system, my guess is your first computing experience would have been on some form of a Mac. 2E, maybe 2C.
How about this? TRS-80.
Oh, wow.
The Trash 80? The Trash Radio 80. Shack Trash 80. Oh. I'm sorry. That was a fine computer. There's something to be said about stereotypes, and you know the TRS-80 wasn't called the Trash 80 almost by everyone for nothing, but really did give us the concepts at the time, and it was an affordable computer for a school district.
But so, once again, garbage in, garbage out.
Right? We couldn't win there. I'll be honest with you. It's much better when we went to the old Commodores, but that's another story.
Love the Commodores.
So hey, we're talking about your studio. You're doing some upgrades. If you were where we are right now, you just would not believe the technological explosion of parts and pieces that are sitting around here. It's just, I look at all this stuff and I think, wow, this is so cool. And then I think, wow, somebody's got to put that all together. And I'm looking over at the guy right now.
Hello. And, I'll be the guy with the nippers and the tweaker.
A little while back, we talked about the HD radio project that you guys are doing, the hybrid digital project. And can you tell us a little bit? That was probably almost a year ago. Can you tell us where we're at with that and what cool things are happening?
Well, on our project specifically, we've had several hang-ups involving structural analysis on the tower. Whoa. I'm not going to delve into that one.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. but specifically, the beauty of HD radio is not so much in the quality and the fidelity, which is good, but still, it's a 96 kilobit stream for HD radio. But it gives broadcasters the ability to add additional radio stations all at their same frequency. Mm-hmm. It's called hybrid digital because it is a hybrid of the analog and digital carriers. And basically, HD radio, for those unfamiliar with it, or for those that are catching the advertisements, which the National Association of Broadcasters are killing us with
right now. A lot of advertisement right now.
HD radio is essentially your radio station that you listen to all the time when they're broadcasting in HD has the ability to add additional radio stations. So if you have an HD TV, HD meaning high definition in television, if you go to, say, channel 4, you go to channel 4.1, 4.2, 4.3. Same thing with radio. Your radio stations will have an HD 2 and an HD 3 all at their same frequency.
Which just totally expands the programming possibilities.
And right now, those HD2 stations and HD3 are being run non-commercial. Mm-hmm. That will change at some point in the future. So what you have access to with an HD radio is all these additional programming streams. Now, a radio station, their HD1, is a copy of their analog signal. So their regular analog signal is available in digital, 96 kilobit stream, on the digital side. But their HD2 could be running some off-the-wall format. I know some popular formats to run on HD2 are blues. BBC World Service News is popular with some of the non-commercial stations. If you're a country station, a very popular pairing with your traditional, or not traditional, but a contemporary country format is to put a traditional country format.
You know, more like a the Gene Autry type stuff.
Gene Autry, right. Jimmy Rogers, right. Hank Williams Sr.
Country and Western.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We have both kinds of music, country and Western.
That's right, that's right.
But so that's HD in a nutshell. What we're doing right now is slugging through the process because it requires a wholesale change out of everything on the transmission end for the radio station.
Plus the explosion of equipment around there.
Yeah, I just kind of wade through it.
But you have a great concept that you're thinking about doing for your HD2 is it HD2 station?
Yep.
We were talking about there's a service out there for people that have a vision impairment, and you have a concept for something you might be running on that channel. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Reading Instructional Services, RIS, used to be known as Reading for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a non-commercial station, like a college station, in the past, you would run a feed from Reading Instructional Services on what in the analog world is called a subcarrier.
Mm-hmm.
So your main station, your main frequency, just off to the side of it is another carrier that would have the Reading Instructional Services. If you were in the community and you wanted to listen to this, you'd have to go back through RIS or through some other organization to purchase a subcarrier receiver, which is essentially a special radio that picks up your frequency,
right,
but it ignores the main part and just picks that up.
And these special analog subcarrier radios are not cheap.
No, right? And because they're proprietary.
They're very proprietary.
So it was a very expensive process. One of the things we're evaluating for our HD2 or possibly HD3 is incorporating Reading Instructional Services on our HD2 signal.
Mm-hmm. Anyone that has an HD radio can pick that up, right?
I mean, it's very just, and you want
no special equipment.
And right now, HD radios are still a little pricey. They're coming down finally, but they don't compare in cost to the old subcarrier receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can go to Best Buy and get an HD radio and have access to Reading Instructional Services.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not just, you know, as the old moniker, you know, Reading for the Blind.
Right.
You would be surprised how many people listen to books on tape.
Hey, you know what? Many times I go to Barnes & Noble's, or mm-hmm. I go to what's the other one I can't think of right now, which if they were listening, they would be shocked. But there's a lot of these – there's whole sections on audio books.
Right.
At the pilot stations and at some of the trucker stations, what do you see in there? You see racks of audio books where they can just check it out at this station, and when they drive down the road 700 miles, they can check mm-hmm. it in another station. So there's a lot to be said about getting media such as books and different things put out over
exactly.
a service like this. I would find that interesting.
So, and that's the beauty of this. Anybody can purchase a receiver, and you know, a person who listens to exclusively to a talk radio station probably would be a natural fit for somebody mm-hmm. wanting to listen to books being read or the local newspaper. How would you like to read the local newspaper on a long commute to work?
I think it'd be a great idea.
That's where RIS kicks in.
Going through the headlines, doing a headline type of read, that's a great idea. Plus, it's such a if you look at it that way, what a community-based service you're providing.
Exactly.
You know, not only for those visually impaired, but for those that want to get the news on the go,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be updated. I think that's a fantastic idea. So how far are we out?
We're looking at probably mid-fall with our station.
Okay.
And
well,
like I said,
too far.
It's a wholesale change of everything in the transmission system. And in our case, we're changing tower locations. So, but in changing tower locations, we'll get a better signal, get more coverage, and be able to reach further into the hills of western Pennsylvania.
And they are hills, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're big, big rolling hills of Pennsylvania. It's beautiful in Pennsylvania right now.
It is. But we've actually got enough rain so that usually by the end of July, everything's brown.
Everything's brown. Right now, if you've never been, you know, up in our area, which, you know, I'm sure many of you listening to the podcast haven't, Pennsylvania is one of the most beautiful places in the summer and in the spring and in the fall. It's the 6 month winter
that
that people tend to get a little bit a little bit hesitant about when they talk about.
And in this part of the country, there's about 4 or 5 months on either side of summer where we can have winter, spring, and fall all within 24 hours.
I know. You can flip a coin. You know, it's whatever.
It's not uncommon to see a temperature inversion of 45, 50 degrees around here.
And it's not like we're over in Colorado where the mountains, you know, you go up there and it's cold and you go down and it's nice and warm. You know, no. We get that wherever we're at.
Brother Pisano, I'm looking at the clock. We are running a little bit long, so we have a lot of stuff to cover.
Yes, we do.
So we have another interesting podcast coming up, and we want you to tune in for it. What will we cover in that
podcast?
We're going to
talk a little bit about what's going on in the music education, the Me Blogger campaign, the Blog Carnival, some of the RSS stuff that's going on out there right now, and we want to get some news out to the people that are involved in that or thinking about doing it. And I'm thinking about doing that for the next podcast.
Let's do it.
We run out a little bit of time here.
So. Let's do it.
All right. Well, for now, it's been fabulous getting to talk to all you out there, and it's always fabulous talking to you, Mr. Morton.
And we've dodged the jackhammers long enough. I can hear the concrete saw.
They're breaking in to get us right now.
So, for MooseTech.net, I'm Darren Morton,
and I'm Joe Pisano. Good day.